simple healing, a simple act of compassion, a simple expression of the love of God, a simple moment of divine intervention, a simple touch of holiness causes such a controversy. The leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath day, indignant. This man was angry, friends. He was furious. He had lost his dignity, the dignity of his office. Indignant. He was totally without reason and angry at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. It seems outrageous. It seems ridiculous to us that the leader of the synagogue would get so bent out of shape himself over Jesus simply healing this woman. Sure, it's the Sabbath day. Sure, it's the Lord's day. Sure, it's the day of rest. But it's an act of kindness. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of love. It's an act of grace. Are not these appropriate? Are not these appropriate actions? On the Sabbath day? Certainly on the Sabbath day one should heal. Certainly on the Sabbath day one should reach out with compassion to others. Certainly on the Sabbath day one should show the mercy and love and grace of God for others. Apparently not. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured. And not on the Sabbath day. What a jerk. Jesus was even more harsh than me. Jesus said, "You hypocrites." I like that. So many of my fellow religionists, clergies and pastors, priests and ministers of the gospel, supposed ministers of the gospel, so many of us, we are hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? That's work. According to the Old Testament, according to the Torah, according to the law, it was work to untie a donkey or an ox and lead it out into the field to let it eat or drink. Yet these religious leaders who are deriding Jesus for having healed this woman are getting bent out of the shape themselves for doing this. They themselves have taken their animals out to water and feed them on the Sabbath day. Bunch of hypocrites. And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, she's not some foreign woman, she's not some Gentile woman, she's not somebody who doesn't belong in synagogue, she's a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years. Ought not this woman be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? You let your animals go free. You untie your animals from their bondage. You lead them out into the fields to drink and to eat. If it's good enough for the animals, isn't it good enough for this woman, this daughter of Abraham? The woman was bent over from her ailment. Bent over for 18 long years. There's been a lot of discussion as to the source of her ailment. Living life bent over like this. Some have said that it was osteoporosis. Some that have said it was some kind of a spinal issue. Maybe some kind of a scoliosis that bent forward instead of just sideways. Whatever the course was, whatever the cause, the situation was, it was described as some kind of demonic oppression. It was described as Satan keeping her ill. It was described as Satan keeping her bent over. And Jesus simply laid his hands on her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Whammo! She's healed. She stands up straight. For the first time in 18 years, she's freed from the oppression of the evil one. For the first time in 18 years, she is healed and she stands upright. She is whole and she stands upright. The first time in 18 years, she's freed from being pressed over, bent over. No longer weighed down by whatever it was that had been so evil that it oppressed her. The story stands not just as a miracle healing, not just as deliverance from the oppression of the evil one, and not just as an opportunity for Jesus to confront the leaders of the synagogue. Jesus loved to do all three of those things. He frequently healed people, he frequently delivered people from demons, and he frequently got into it with the leaders of the synagogue. He was known for telling leaders of the synagogue that they were like whitewashed tombs, all pretty and clean on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. He loved to pick on the leaders of the synagogue, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the temple, the Sadducees. He loved to pick on them, to point out their evil, their hypocrisy, their duplicitousness. And he loved to deliver people from the snare, from the oppression of the evil one, from demons. And Jesus loved to heal. He did all three. And all three are present in this story. But more so even than that. For us, this is in fact a promise. It's a demonstration. It's a metaphor. For us and for our lives and our relationships and our experiences, this story promises us and demonstrates to us and gives us hope that we need not be trapped in this kind of oppression, that we not be trapped by this kind of illness, that we not be trapped by this kind of demonic overpowerment, that we not be bent over, metaphorically even, in our living. That we have the freedom and the power of God to stand up straight and face the world, sure and certain that there is a God who loves us. There is a God who sustains us. There is a God who feeds us. There is a God who delivers us. There is a God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us, that we might have nothing to fear and might come into the presence of the eternal Father. That we have an advocate and guide. That we have a defender, a rock to keep us safe. We too are bent over by the weights of this life. We too are crippled and bent over by the oppression of the evil one. We go from day to day bent over, at least metaphorically, wondering how we're going to be delivered and straightened up. We face bondage to Satan of many different kinds: physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. Bondage takes many forms. And no matter what kind of bondage you suffer, there is healing. There is wholeness. There is transformation. There is deliverance. There is hope in the word of Jesus, in the touch of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus. This is what we experience each and every time we come to the table of the Lord for Holy Communion. We experience the real presence of Christ, who touches us and transforms us and empowers us and enables us to stand up straight in the face of the world and proclaim the gospel, the good news of the welcoming love of God to all. This is what we experienced in our own baptisms. We baptized Matthew today, but in our own baptisms, each and every one of us was plunged into Jesus, incorporated into the body of Christ, made children of the living God. And when we remember our baptisms, we are reconnected to that glorious grace which comes to deliver us from oppression and bondage, to take us from being bent over to standing straight, confronting the evils of the world. The healing, cleansing, forgiving, life-transforming touch of Jesus delivers us from bondage just as surely as he delivered the woman who was bent over. What is holding you down today? What is bending you over today, my brothers and sisters? What is causing you to be oppressed, holding you down, keeping you from standing straight and tall and facing down the evil one of this world? What is oppressing you today, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally? We have people in this church, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, who are struggling with pain, with separation, with anger, with bitterness. They refuse to talk to each other. They feel estranged from family and friends. Why do we let Satan win? Why do we let the oppressive one hold us down? When we have hope in Jesus Christ, a deliverer who moves into us and through us to transform not only us, but a broken and hurting and bent over, out of shape world. What is oppressing you today? What is holding you in bondage? This message has been beaten on me all week long. I work on my sermon starting on usually Monday morning. And by Thursday, I'm usually done, but not this week. Because the level of oppression, the level of demonic influence, the level of Satan's activity has been high. I don't think he wants this message preached today. And last night, it reached a pinnacle. About midnight, when I received a text message from a dear friend, member of a former church of mine. And that text message said, "I am sitting in my car looking at a gun in my hand and wondering if there is a God who loves me." I tried calling him and got his voicemail. I texted and asked him where he was. I would come to him. He said, "No." He said, "There is no hope and no future for me." I asked him what was wrong, texting him back quickly as I could, and he said, "My wife has thrown me out of my house, and my future is over. I have no hope. Is there a God who still loves me? Can there possibly be a Savior who still loves me and died for me after I have screwed up so terribly?" And we exchanged texts back and forth. I repeatedly asked him to let me talk to him on the phone. He continued to say no. I asked him again and again, "Let me come to you. I'll come to where you are. Wherever you are, I will come to you." And he said no. And so we continued to text back and forth until after 2:30 in the morning. I gave him this scripture. I reminded him of the woman who was bent over, whom Jesus touched and healed, and she was straightened after 18 long years of oppression. I told him, "That's longer than you've been fighting this depression." She experienced the touch of Jesus. There is indeed a God who still loves you. There is indeed a Savior who still died for you. There is indeed the power of the Holy Spirit who is with you right now. Sitting there in my living room texting him, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I could feel the presence of God with me. I knew that God was right there, and I wanted to try to communicate that presence of God to my friend using text messages. over the couple and a half hours that we talked, he flooded to me in words of painful confession what he had done, how he had failed, how he had failed his wife and his kids, how he had failed his mother and father, how he had failed God. And now he decided that there was no reason not to fail ultimately. And he wanted to pull the trigger. Over a couple of hours of texting, we talked him off the edge. Finally, he said, "I'm sitting outside a motel. I'm getting ready to go in and try to go to bed. I promise I'll put this gun in the case and not bring it out again." And we said goodnight. This morning, I woke up to a text message from him saying that he had made it through the night, and that while he still felt alone, while he still felt a failure, while he still felt there was no hope, in his mind, he was remembering what I had said. In his mind, he was remembering what the Scriptures had proclaimed. In his mind, he was remembering that if God is for us, who can be against us? In his mind, he was hearing what I had said about the woman who had been bent over for 18 long years. In his mind, he believed that he wasn't alone. He felt alone. It looked like he was alone. He knew he was a failure. He knew he had failed. But he believed also that he wasn't alone. What tragedy, what oppression, what illness, what division, what separation, what pain, what fear, what failure is having you bend over today? My brothers and sisters, don't listen to the hypocrites who say that you can't come to Jesus. Don't listen to the hypocrites who say there is no forgiveness. Don't listen to the hypocrites who say, well, you can go to church somewhere, but you can't come here. Don't listen to the hypocrites, Almighty, my friends. Don't listen to the hypocrites, but listen to Almighty God, who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen to Jesus, who says, "You are healed of your ailment." Feel the touch of the Savior, who comes to deliver you from your bondage. I don't know what your bondage is, my friends. I don't know what pain, what illness, what bondage you individually have. But I do know where hope is. I do know where deliverance is. I do know where healing is. It's right here. Deliverance is right here. In the cross, in baptism, in the Eucharist, in the Holy Word of God, incarnate in human flesh, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Be delivered from the bondage. Jesus wants to cast Satan out and deliver you today. Say yes, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to straighten you, to lift you up, to deliver you, and make you whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Who is presenting himself for baptism today? And your name is?
Matthew.
Matthew. Okay. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Good. This is to those who sponsor him. Will you nurture Matthew in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself fully at confirmation, and profess his faith openly and lead a Christian life? Good. To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include Matthew now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Matthew with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father,
through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Matthew David, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you place your hands on me now? Matthew, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me on page 37. Turn to face the congregation. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.